Well, and this is why you should use algorithms instead of raw for loops. Because you can do this not only in some array language like Jelly, but you can also do this in standard C++. It's a little bit harder, but there's actually, there's an effort to develop a new high-level IR for Clang using the MLIR framework, which is a framework for sort of developing high-level, more language-specific IRs that are exist at a level above LLVM IR.
Welcome to ADSP, the podcast, episode 169, recorded on February 14th, 2024. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we chat about the parallel algorithm thrust unique count, other algorithms, and the algorithm advisor.
What is wrong with my voice? I technically haven't said, I'm going to sound like I smoke a... Are you using your mic?
I am. Oh, but the microphone would not be on me, so that might be...
It sounds about 100 times better.
You know, minor details. I did turn it on.
Happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
Happy Valentine's Day, Connor. How you doing? We're recording nice and early in the morning.
Yep.
What are your big Valentine's Day plans?
It's more like about... Well, we're talking about this on the pod.
Yeah, we are. Ramona and I are doing nothing. It's Ramona's birthday is February 13th. So we went out for dinner on Saturday and then yesterday. But, you know, it's like impossible to go out on Valentine's Day. There's like, you have to get a reservation. Everywhere has a special menu where they charge you extra. But since her birthday's the day before, it's like we can just go out the day before. It's great. So we're going to stay at home. We're going to... Our little local Korean place, though, has a special Valentine's Day menu, so I may try to talk her into going out to there. But we're probably going to stay at home, eat take-in or leftovers, and then, I don't know, watch a movie, read books. We're going to be lazy. So there's like a foot of snow in New York, but we're up in Albany, and there is no snow. Which I'm very upset about because it didn't snow at all in New York last year, and I love the snow. So we really missed out.
Well, I'm sure you'll be back to the Big Apple soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Friday, actually. And you're going to come down to the Big Apple.
This is true. This is true. March 5th to 8th, we will be...
Yeah, me, you, and Sean Parent.
Yes,
I'm excited.
We should actually check... The New York C++ meetup. We happen to know that it is on March 7th, which is the Thursday, I believe. But
yeah,
as of this recording, which for those of you that know when Valentine's Day is February 14th, it is not posted on... And I assume this is the NYC++ meetup. Not the New York C++ Developers Meetup, which hasn't been active.
There's a New York C++ Developers
Meetup. Yeah, there's two New York meetups, but this one hasn't been active for a couple years. And then the NYC++ is the one that Adobe kind of quasi-sponsors now. But yes, there should be a meetup for the C++ folks. And also, if you're not interested in C++ and you just want to come and hang out for an evening... Bryce and I will be there. I believe Sean Parent is the speaker, if not one of the speakers.
No, he'll be the speaker.
And yeah, should be a good time. You've booked us some plans on the Tuesday night. We're going to a comedy club. I accepted a bunch of invites.
Although our plans may change because the dinner venue is going to change a little bit. But the plan is I think we're going to go to a comedy club and then... And go get food somewhere.
Yep, looking forward to it. Love comedy. Was just at Second City on Monday in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Not in Chicago. Hopefully.
Nobody's heard of Second City in Toronto. Is that even a thing?
It definitely is. There are three different Second City locations. Toronto, Chicago, and I believe New York actually is the other one.
Yes. I think it's New York and Chicago. I don't know about Toronto.
I mean, from what I've been told, a lot of Canada's top comedians come out of Second City.
Canada's top comedians. I'm gonna get so canceled for this line.
Have you heard of Mike Myers?
I'm going down it. I have heard of Mike Myers. Canadians are too nice to be comedians.
Is that true? Do we have any mean comedians? I guess that's true. Mike Myers was nice. Jim Carrey was really nice.
He admits to it.
I mean, it's why that's the thing. It's like America. You have a...
Ramona's giving me a look like, this is the important podcast content that you need to be recording. So we better get down to business before she comes over here and kills me with a dinner fork.
Well, I mean, we were talking about the C++ meetup. So link in the show notes. We will add it in post whenever it gets posted. Do you have a topic? I mean, I was going to follow up on what we chatted about last time. Because I am...
Yeah, I do not have a topic.
I am thrilled with the refactor of the Thrust inner product to be count unique. And there's two follow-ups. The first follow-up is that...
The Thrust inner product to be count unique?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly... Technically not count unique. Unique count is the name of the algorithm. But to recap, we were solving... We're walking through the parallel implementation of the mode algorithm, aka more commonly known as, outside of the world of statistics, as most frequent element. And there's like a one-liner way to solve this in Python where you just reach for the counter collection and then you do a max reduction by looking at the values and then get the key corresponding to that. Pretty straightforward, but the way it worked in the Thrust example was to sort, then to do a inner product to get the unique number of keys. And they did that with an inner product, which we refactored to a unique count, then do a reduce by key, and then do a max element at the end of all that. And the two follow-ups are that not only did that example use inner product, which it shouldn't have, my tool or project, yet to be named, yet to be announced, also was using not unique count. I have sort of this example that generates a reduce by key, and it does the exact same thing where it counts the number of unique keys, but the code that it generated was a count if using zip iterators, which is basically another way to spell how to count the unique number of keys. And when you combine that with the fact that we spent a whole episode in Venice talking about unique count. Do you remember this? When we went and got the donuts and sat in that little square, we initially, that whole sort of theme or topic theme through our Slovenia trip was how to implement unique in parallel. But we ended up at unique count because I had mentioned that I had had a conversation with Michael, my boss, about how to implement a unique count, and that, you know, one way to do it is with copy ifs and actually calling unique, but you don't actually need to do any of that at the end of the day. You can just do a reduction, a count if. And when you combine the fact that, like, I have this tool that I've written this, you know, exact similar code to this parallel mode example, didn't reach for unique count. And then you staring at this code weren't able to immediately recognize that this inner product was a unique count. And we spent a whole episode in Venice talking about how we could optimize the implementation of unique count. And we actually never followed up from that whole series because you might not remember. But at the end of that, we said, we need to go refactor this to make sure that we're not materializing anything in this unique count. Because we were looking at this struct that was called zip_ADJ, short for adjacent_not, which was basically a struct that would bundle, it would basically do the trick of zip iterators and complementing your binary predicate, which you don't really need that. But at the end of the day, we thought that that was like calling, it was some kernel that was materializing anything. It wasn't. It was basically just the zip iterators. So the refactoring that we said we needed to do Actually, we didn't, because unique count, calling count if using this little struct was doing the optimal thing. It just looked a bit weird. And so my the end of my whole ramble and this sort of, you know, follow up is how did we both miss this? Like in looking at the parallel mode example, and then in me doing something similar in my own project. And it's like, one, how did that happen? And two, I had this idea once, which I actually have implemented in Jello. Maybe I should whip out Jello again. Back-to-back Jello episodes, folks. And let me share my screen. We said we won't do this, but honestly, we're not going to be... It'll be easy for Bryce to explain what I'm about to do here. So if we...
for me to explain? Connor's going to spin up Jello again.
Let's make this full screen... So we're launching Jello. So let's actually just see what happens if we do this. If we do plus fold on a list of numbers, and actually let's just do 5. And then if we do iota, what do you see here? So the expression that I just wrote essentially was iota plus fold 5.
Yeah, so he's got an iota of to 5. And then he's got a plus fold. It says plus fold can be replaced with sum. And then it shows the steps of the algorithm. And the first one is... It shows the list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then the second one shows the sum of the two. And then it says this is a 1-2-Q monadic chain.
Everything after that I've highlighted, we can ignore. It's really the first part that I'm trying to highlight here.
The plus fold can be replaced with sum.
And then what does it say right under that?
Algorithm advisor.
Yes. Let's look at another example now. Say I want to do the maximum consecutive ones problem, MCO. MCO.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
So if I do this, I typed out just a list of ones and zeros. I go group, and...
All right, he's got ones and zeros, folks. He's grouping them. He's lengthening them. He's eaching them. And again, it says... All right, so he's got lists, and then he's got group, len, each. And it says group, len, each can be replaced with group, len, algorithm advisor. And it also says that len each can be replaced with len each, or with len space each can be replaced with len underscore each.
So do you remember at one point that we actually had a meeting where we talked about the idea of something like this? Where
yes, I do. I was just about to say, did Jello steal this from you, or did you steal this from Jello?
No. I wrote this whole tool.
And that you wrote this tool for Jello?
Jello is my tool. I wrote the whole thing.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So Jelly is a programming language written by, his online alias is Dennis Mitchell, which is the name of the character from Dennis the Menace. So I'm not actually sure that's his name. It could be. And I wrote a wrapper around the language, which is this tool that basically, if you look at the things in yellow, the atoms in yellow, this OE ligature G, L, and then... I think that's the British pound symbol. That is Jelly syntax. So that is actually the actual Jelly program for group len each. So Jello is just basically a keywordified Jelly language. And a part of this tool I realized is that they have so many, like when I hit space, they have so many of these, you know, functions that come with the language that half the time I forget that, like, oh, there's a len each or a group len or a specific specialization of some kind of reduction. And so I basically just added a dictionary / regex matcher that will let you know when you're using a suboptimal composition of algorithms. And this just brings me back to my observation about the fact that both of us missed opportunities to use unique count, even though we spent like a whole journey, not a whole four episodes, but like we got to the fourth episode and then we're like, what about unique count? And I think we both consider ourselves like algorithm experts, yet we still miss this stuff.
Well, and this is why you should use algorithms instead of raw for loops, because you can do this not only in some array language like Jelly, but you can also do this in standard C++. It's a little bit harder, but there's an effort to develop a new high level IR for Clang, using the MLIR framework, which is a framework for sort of developing high level, more language specific IRs that exist at a level above LLVM IR. And one of the cool things that somebody's doing with Clang IR is looking at optimizing and analyzing usage of standard algorithms. And you can, if everybody expresses their algorithms in terms of the named set of algorithms in a language, then it's pretty easy to write an algorithm advisor for that language. But if you write your things in terms of raw for loops, then the compiler has to figure out, okay, well, this for loop that this person wrote, this is really a bespoke, you know, unique count. And I can tell them that they can optimize it in this way. But it's a lot harder to identify that than if you're just like, oh, well, this is an inner product. It does this. And, oh, actually, you can just, like this thing should just be that. Like that, like one of the big benefits of a sort of an array style programming model where you're working with array where array operations are your primitives, not raw for loops, where you have named array operations, and be that in C++ or in an array programming language. One of the big advantages of that is that those array operations can be one, implemented in some optimized way by the platform. But two, the platform can look at the composition of different array operations that you're using and identify opportunities for optimizations across that composition. And that is very, very powerful. And so that is the way by which your like hand-rolled, bespoke, low-level C for loop can be beaten by higher-level code. It's entirely possible that you could write, you know, an algorithm in something like using some tool like Jelly and get better performance than something like CUDA C++, simply because when you write it with Jelly, it tells you, oh yeah, you know, you could write it this way instead. And and that thing that both of us, who are probably, I think, considered experts in algorithms, missed, the tool won't miss that.
That is yeah, one of my, you know, life goals basically is to build this kind of thing, either in the form of a library or the form of a language. And it should be mentioned that the initial one, recognizing that like a plus fold can be replaced with a sum, there's no perf advantage there. But in the example here, when you're doing a group being something that's basically the equivalent of a chunk by, so you're splitting a range up into a range of ranges. And then when you do len each, which is the equivalent of transforming basically a std colon colon distance or std colon colon ranges colon colon distance, this can recognize that at least for the Jello implementation or the Jelly implementation, a group len each is going to materialize each of the sort of subranges and then calculate what the length of that, because this is just Jelly is implemented in Python at the end of the day. But group len doesn't materialize it. It basically just like while it's going through, It at the same time it's going through it and quote unquote grouping, it's using iter tools and more iter tools, which is like Python's iterator facility. So it manages to avoid something that's much less efficient, which depending on what you are lowering this down onto, you could do something extremely similar, right? Like imagine someone that is not aware of unique count and that's making use of thrust unique, and then we're just able to programmatically see, oh, you did a reduction right after this unique, we can just like switch that for you.
Yeah, it's, you know, I more and more think that writing array primitives yourself instead of using like existing array primitives and using like array style programming, like writing this all by hand is more and more like handwriting assembly instead of, you know, using some language in an optimizing compiler.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it's already writing efficient, either CUDA C++ code or even, you know, efficient code that just calls thrust algorithms or cub algorithms is already, like, a non-trivial thing.
Yeah.
Like, pointing case, episode 168, last episode, I managed to notice it, but even it took me a second when you were,
yeah.
I think I was trying to take my COVID test and you were like, hey, pay attention. We need to figure out what this is doing. I read through it and my first thought actually was like, oh, this is a count if. And I was like, wait a second. I saw that. Then I read the comment and I was like, I immediately thought, I'm pretty sure I'm doing this wrong in my own tool. I'll see if Bryce sees it. You didn't see it. And then in the back of my head, we were already running long on that episode. But my thought was, is like, how are we missing this in two different instances? When at the end of the day, perf-wise, the inner product, my count if in my generated code, and the unique count ultimately all do the same thing. So it's not like there's any perf loss, but like from a readability perspective, it's so much more difficult to figure out what that inner product's doing. And in not all cases,
I'm not sure that you're right about the no perf loss, because unique count in Thrust for the CUDA backend has a bespoke implementation. And I don't know that the inner product will lower down to the, like,
isn't the bespoke implementation the count if with that zip add not struct?
No. That's the generic implementation. That works for all backends. There's a bespoke kernel for unique count. I'm actually looking at it right now. And the bespoke
share your screen.
Maybe it's just for unique though. Let's see.
I was going to say, I'm almost positive, because I've looked this up now three different times, and the one in the CUDA...
No. It just says this.
Yeah. So it is... We'll permalink this for folks. We'll permalink it to the GitHub line in the main repo of Thrust, which now lives in the NVIDIA CCCL repo. But yeah, it's a... So it actually, it does use a zip iterator. So actually, I have no idea what the zip underscore ADJ underscore not predicate. Like, it seems like that's totally unnecessary.
So what it does is it calls countif. It makes a zip iterator zipping adjacent elements. So it basically, it's like taking a range and doing adjacent to with it. And then it does a countif on that range. And it uses a zip adjacent not.
Oh, you know what this zip ADJ not predicate function is? So there is a Thrust make zip function where you pass it a binary predicate and then it'll apply it to something that has been passed to a zip iterator. So this is basically that exact same thing, but it also performs the complement. So it's basically composing not with zip make zip function.
Yeah, I think so.
Which really, this should not be like a one-off. Really, there should be a way that we can just compose like a not fun, because isn't there like a std not fun that does this exact thing? It will complement the result of a binary predicate, or even, I guess technically, it just complements the result of something that returns a Boolean. Anyways, we should whether we build an algorithm advisor for C++ or for Thrust.
You know what's funny? My word count example that I've used for years could also be implemented with unique count instead of transform reduce. I only just realized that.
Yes. 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 And this is the thing, is like, you've been giving that talk or that example in variations of talks since like, what, 2016, I think, is the first one I remember seeing.
Yeah, but it's earlier than that. It's from like 2014.
And that's the thing, is like, no one...
And unique count would make it so much clearer what it's doing. Because the way that the parallel word count works is you're basically, you have some predicate to determine what the end of the word is. Like, okay, when do I have a space on the right? Like, when I have a non-white space character followed by a space character, that's the end of the world. And then... Like, that's the transform part. And then the reduce part is just counting all of those instances of the end of a word. So what is a parallel word count? I am, like, counting all the places, all the unique words, all the ends of words.
Yeah. And so this is actually another fantastic, because we've got like 5 minutes left. This is a fantastic note to end on that I had temporarily forgotten I wanted to bring up. First of all, it's actually, you're in the clear, because unique count, I looked up the PR, wasn't added until 2022. You're in the clear, buddy.
Oh!
So that's a good thing to mention.
Wait. Why was it added?
It was added, I think, because someone pointed out that it was a useful algorithm to go along with all of the reduce by key algorithms.
Yeah, I kind of remember its addition.
We will leave, because I went and found the PR that added it, because... For those that check the show notes, probably nobody, I went and created a PR to refactor that mode example. And then in the PR, I linked to the other PR that added unique count to initially to Thrust. But here is the last note I want to end on, and that is unique count is not, like, technically it's fine that there exists an algorithm called unique count, but this is not like the correct generic name for this algorithm. And I actually gave a lightning talk at one point called Algorithm Selection, where I showed that all of these algorithms, like is sorted and is sorted until, and then adjacent find, all of them are in this hierarchy, and the root algorithm that sits at the top of the hierarchy is, do you know what it is? It's the arguably the worst named algorithm in all of C++.
I don't know. Mismatch is what,
that is it.
What comes to mind.
That is it. It is. It is. It is. And that's because really what mismatch is it's zip find.
I followed my intuition and it paid off.
Yeah, you're crushing the quizzes these years. You're crushing the quizzes. Zip find not is essentially like the generic name for that algorithm. And in this case, like, we have the exact same thing. Unique count is at like one of the leaf nodes of this tree. And transform reduces at the top. But in the middle, we've got like a version of count if that bundles this zip iterator pattern. And if you recall, the very first talk I ever gave at C++ Now, I showed a sequential algorithm to solve a problem called dangerous teams that was adjacent reduce, which was basically this transform reduce with the built-in pattern of the zip iterator. And so my point here is that unique count really shouldn't be implemented in terms of count if. It should be implemented in terms of some parallel version of transform reduce called adjacent reduce, where you still have two binary operations, one that performs this transform and one that performs the reduction, but then it takes care of that zip iterator trick for you. Because this pattern is so common. It's so common that even before I had entered, you know, the land of parallel thinking, this adjacent reduce thing is so common. And the reduction here is really just summing Booleans. So your binary predicate would be not equal to, similar to the inner product, and then your second binary operation that does the reduction would just be sum. And so really, then at the end of the day, all you would see inside of unique count is just, you know, a call to adjacent reduce. And really, unique is just like, I don't know, once again, you can still have the algorithm there, but there is no unique in range V3. There is an algorithm called adjacent remove if. Because really, unique is just an algorithm. Yeah,
which is a better name.
Yeah, it just does compaction based on a binary predicate.
Unique doesn't capture the fact that it only removes like consecutive things.
Yes.
Like if you tell people who don't know, don't have any of the background, like what does a unique operation do? They're gonna think like it removes all the duplicates.
Yeah, I mean, and is unique count even the? I know that like unique now has a meaning in C++, but if you were to have, I guess, yeah, you can't do it with adjacent remove if. That wouldn't be the best way to do it. It would just be to have like a call to adjacent reduce, at least in parallel land. In sequential land, it'd be fine to call, I guess, adjacent remove if, and then follow that up with a fold. But anyways, the point being here is that just these names, you know, we can be doing better here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all a mess. It's all a big mess.
And really, at the last thought I have in my head is like, is it better to have like an algorithm advisor that tells the user, hey, here's a better thing? Or is it just better to have a library or a language that like the compiler or your tools will do it all for you? So like you never need to think, should I write it way A, way B, way C? At the end of the day, it can just see through everything and will always do the most efficient thing. I think that's honestly what like devs want.
That's what people want, yeah. I mean, I think the question is, clearly we can do that in array programming languages, but the question is, can we take those techniques from array programming languages and bring them to Python, to Rust, to C++? I think the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, stay tuned, folks. The update on Andrew Kelly. Oh, yeah. I meant, actually, maybe.
Yeah, that was my other thinking, which is that it's been a while since we've had some guest episodes, so let's bring on the guests.
Yeah, maybe I'll cut this in somewhere, but we had, actually, let's go get their name, because we love it. We love it on ADSP when people reach out. So on episode 168, we had a couple people ping us. One of them was Marco Seidentop. I probably butchered that pronunciation. But thank you, Marco. He pinged us and said, for contacting Andrew Kelly of Zig, I recommend talking to Loris, who is the Zig's VP of community. And I went ahead and did that. I DM'd Loris on Twitter. Twitter got back to me. Loris got back to me and said that Andrew's very busy, but he is interested in going on podcasts when he's less busy, and he'll ping us when he is available. So probably not anytime soon, but maybe sometime in 2024, we will get a message from Andrew, and we will figure out who we're going to guest host next time. Be sure to check your show notes either in your podcast app or at adspthepodcast.com for links to anything we mentioned in today's episode, as well as a link to a GitHub discussion where you can leave thoughts, comments, and questions. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and have a great day.
Low quality, high quantity. That is the tagline of our podcast.
It's not the tagline. Our tagline is chaos with sprinkles of information. Yeah.